Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap a couple of 42-point games. We got two games to talk about. The back-to-back Tuesday night, the Thunder played at Utah. Wednesday night, they hosted Golden State. Barry, we're going to start with the Thunder-Jazz game on Tuesday night. The Jazz beat the Thunder 106-96, but the big memories from this one will be the career high for Lou Dort. Dort scored 42 points for the Thunder. Yes, 42. He was 16 of 31, 7 of 11 from three, had seven rebounds. He bested his previous career high, which was 26. Obviously, he had that 30-point game in the playoffs. That doesn't officially count for his career high, so this was his new one. And he joined pretty elite company, becoming the sixth member of the Thunder's 40-point club. And Barry, you did a little bit of research, looked up the historical significance of 40-point games, sort of who's had them, particularly with the Thunder. Kind of share that a little bit with us and give us some context for Lou Dort's big 42-point night.
Well, I mean, the four guys, the four Thunders have done it before Lou Dort, scoring 42, at least 42. The usual suspects that you would think, Durant, Westbrook, Paul George, and then earlier this year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. James Harden never did it. Carmelo didn't do it. Chris Paul didn't do it. He didn't do it when he was with the Hornets. So it's pretty rare. Dort was, what did I have? He was, for guys who were 21 or before their 22nd birthday, Dort, I think, is 37th player in league history to do it. So it doesn't happen very often for a guy that young to be that productive in a single night. So, historic night for Dort. And just my emotions watching the game was, can't remember if I said this on the podcast or not. Might have said it on the radio. I've grown discouraged about this Thunder season. I think I've hit the wall. Just couldn't find much reason to get excited about watching a game. In fact, I have to admit something for the second time all year. I did not chart the game. I just watched it, did not chart it.
Barry.
And Lou Dort goes for 42 points. So I went back.
He reeled you back in.
He reeled me back in. And then, of course, tonight, Wednesday night, I charted the game and no Lou Dort. So that's the way it goes. But, no, it was fun to see. When you think about how far this guy has come, a two-way player who looked like he might be able to make the NBA, but we weren't sure, and then looked like he was going to be a good defensive player who would have a future but couldn't do a lick on offense. From that point to this point where he's not just a defensive dynamo, but actually a pretty good offensive player, a valuable hand to a 42-point game, very impressive, and he seems like a solid dude, so I was happy for it.
Yeah, the guy we saw last year kind of finding his way into the NBA offensively, the defense was always there, but just unthinkable that, you know, he shot 30% from three on a pretty low volume as a rookie in a limited sample. He was 7 of 11 from three against the Jazz. He's got unwavering confidence. He's up to a 34% three-point shooter this season. And yeah, I mean, not all 40-point games are made equal. I mean, some you come to expect a little bit more when Trae Young or Donovan Mitchell, who he played last night, when he has a 40-point game, it's not as big of a deal. When Lou Dort, who averages 12 and a half points per game, that's a much bigger deal. So really a cool night for Lou Dort. And the thing that strikes me the most, Barry, about Lou's offensive evolution is that it's sort of a product of the environment, right? Like if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was healthy and in the backcourt, I don't think we'd ever see a 40-point Lou Dort game. I never thought we'd see one in the first place. But because SGA is not out there, Lou Dort is playing point guard along with Théo Maledon. He's initiating the offense. He's the primary creator. The Jazz were double-teaming him at times, which is just crazy to think of. And I thought this was a really good quote from Mark Daigneault after the game. He said, one of the dangers that you run into early in a guy's career. Lou and Darius Bazley last year as an example, is they play effective roles on a team, but you can fall into the trap of cornering them into that role, and they never evolve from that, and you never really learn where their ceilings are. And that kind of like struck me a little bit, because like Dort played a specific role on a good Thunder team last year, and we expected him to sort of play that same role, but the circumstances have changed, and like his offensive ceiling is higher than I think we might have thought it could be based on what his role was as a rookie.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And this idea of exponential improvement is really exciting to me. I have removed the ceiling off Lou Dort's career. I don't know what he can do. I never thought he would be capable of this. So what will, you know, I'm not saying he's headed for superstardom, but it's not like he just got hot one night. He actually has shown much of this year that he can do a lot of things on offense. I mean, goes to the basket really hard and really well. And he's been used as you mentioned, he's been used as a facilitator. In some ways, he shared the point guard duties against Utah, and in other games, shared the point guard duties with Théo Maledon. So it's a case of just a guy who's really just sort of grown up before our very eyes. And the Thunder's, it's a total steal for the Thunder to get a undrafted rookie, now an undrafted sophomore, to become this productive and this valuable of a player.
Yeah, I mean, when you're trying to jumpstart a rebuild and one of your core guys is an undrafted guy that you signed, I mean, that's a pretty good place to start with, is how hard it is to get high picks. So, by the way, he guarded Donovan Mitchell last night and did it quite well. I mean, Mitchell was efficient, but didn't go off for a crazy number. And that's what Dignalt also pointed out after the game is, all right, you know, it's a pretty decent sized list of guys who are capable of scoring 40 points in an NBA game. But how big is the list of guys who can score 40 points and defend at that level? And I have not crafted a list, but I agree that it's not very big. And you know, we've been talking about his defense all the year, but that is what sort of separates him and makes him special. Because, like, I mean, Ty Jerome after the game said, like, you know, his defense was pretty good too. Normally it would be like the defense was a given and you'd say, oh, his offense was pretty good too tonight. But you sort of reversed that last night, which is crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, he outscored Donovan Mitchell by 20 points. I mean, think about that. Who does that when they're not a primary player offensively? So to me, that was half the thing. It's one thing to score 42, but to hold, you know, somebody like Donovan Mitchell under their scoring average at a lesser field goal percentage than Lou Dort used. It was sort of the seminal game for Lou Dort. It's a nice bookend for that. It's a nice bookend for that game seven he showed against the Rockets, when he made life miserable for James Harden and scored 30 points. So, it was, in some ways, it was a coming out party this season, at least for Lou Dort, but he needs to do it more consistently. The thing I liked about him and I have been liking about him, is even early in the year when he was shooting pretty well, he's 40% or so in 3-point range. Many of his misses were bad misses. And you could tell this guy has got doing some magic.
It wasn't sustainable, no. But like it right. has improved, I think.
Yeah, but now when he misses, he misses less wildly. I mean, he threw one up last night that went over the rim, hit the other side of the backboard, but that doesn't happen very much anymore. So he's getting better just in general, even without throwing up a 42-pointer against the against the Utahs.
Well, I mean, even if he leveled off as a career 35% shooter, I mean, I think the Thunder would take that every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, be league average from three and be like a all defense level defender. So,
yeah, that's what we thought maybe his ceiling was. His ceiling has become his floor, which is the classic 3-and-D.
Yeah.
We know he can do that. I mean, guard at an incredible high level and also, you know, knock down some threes for you. But he's doing, you know, more than that on offense a good many nights. So, well, I mean, I didn't even, you know, one thing I've done with this Thunder team, I hardly ever look at, I'll look up individual stats all the time because I want to see what people's doing. I never look at the team stats.
I'm getting to be the same way. It's crazy.
And you had a good line in, I think it was in today's story. What's the number three scorer on this team?
Yeah.
I had never even thought about it. I might have thought it through if you'd asked me. I might have thought, oh, Ludort's third. Yeah, probably Ludort. But I never thought about it. So, you know, I think that's pretty interesting. How high up the ladder he's gone.
Yeah, now he's their highest scoring player because number one is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's out with plantar fasciitis. And number two is Al Horford, who is out for the rest of the year. So, but speaking of out, Barry, the 42 points, I guess, got to his non-shooting shoulder a little bit because Lu Dort was out on Wednesday night with left shoulder soreness, not playing on the second night of a back-to-back. I think it's, you know, don't pay attention to whatever the injury report lists. It's more of a maintenance day, and Dagnall's been pretty upfront about that. They're going to do maintenance days, especially on back-to-backs, especially with their key players like Dort, who did miss seven games previously. So no Dort, no SGA, and it was pretty much what you might expect because the Warriors, although they were missing a couple of guys, Kelly Oubre, Wiseman now out for the long term. But the Warriors dominated the Thunder 147-109. And I mentioned two 42-point games to talk about. The first was Lu Dort's. The second is Steph Curry's. Curry was unbelievable tonight. He was 14 of 20, 11 of 16 from three, 42 points. He had 25 points on perfect shooting. In the third quarter, he did not miss a shot. He was 8 of 8 overall, 6 of 6 from 3. I don't know. It's like you can only say so much about it. It was his 230-point game of his career. It was his 8th straight 30-point game. Golly, Bear, he was so fun to watch tonight.
He was. You know, it's funny. The Thunder hadn't seen the Warriors this year. They got them three times now in 18. Yeah. Or something, but you know, you've been reading a lot about the Warriors and their travails and their troubles, and one of the new themes from the analytics crowd is that, you know, somebody like, you know, Steph Curry is shooting at a record pace in terms of attempts, makes as well, but I think he set an NBA record tonight for a three game spree. He's got 29 threes the last three games. That's the most ever in a three-game span.
Someone said he has more threes in the last three games than like a number of teams did in the first season with the three-point in a
season. I'm sure that's right. But now he shot 49. He's attempted 49 these last three games. But the thing is, you know, your analytics crowd say the problem with Steph Curry is that he's not shooting enough threes. He should shoot more. He literally should probably shoot 30 threes a game.
Yeah.
Go
13 to 30.
He's history in the making. I mean, every time you see him, you're seeing a transcendent player because of that incredible shooting from deep and the prolific nature of all those threes. No, the Thunder actually did a pretty good job early. You know, he made a three to put Golden State up 5-0. And then the Thunder got seven straight stops. It was 5-5
with 7.5 minutes left in the first quarter. And you thought, well, this is, I remember thinking, this is not a very high scoring game. And then Golden State went out, tied the Thunder opponent's record for points in regulation against the Thunder. So, you know, they had 50 points that third quarter. Let's see the one you talked about. They had 50 points.
Most points the Thunder's allowed in a quarter all season.
And by quarters for the Warriors, it was 36, 39, 50. And then a cool 22 in that
fourth. They all sat in the. Curry sat in the fourth. So.
Yeah, then the Thunder C team was the equal of the Warrior C team. So there's hope there. it was an historic night, no doubt about it. And I'm sure the Thunder was worn out. You know, they're out there playing Utah. And getting all excited about Lou Dort and trying to hang with the Jazz and all that stuff. Oklahoma City's here. I mean, the Warriors are here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Having dinner and buying $5,000 bottles of wine. And, you know, just waiting on the Thunder.
And licking their chops when they see Lou Dort's on the injury report.
Yeah. You know, there were reasons, you know, there were valid reasons why the Thunder didn't have it tonight. I mean, it's not a great lineup. The Thunder's running out there. I mean, Svee is not a great defender.
By the way, this was like the 20—I lost count, but it's like the 26th or 27th different starting lineup the Thunder's had this year.
I mean, yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's just crazy. I mean, that's just crazy. And you know, Moses Brown is an interesting player, but Moses Brown guarding the Draymond Green, Steph Curry pick and roll. Is not a way to stay out of the record book. If you want to get in the record book for defensive inefficiency, put Moses Brown guarding the Warriors pick and roll. So, you know, it was sort of to be expected. This is not a great Golden State offense. I looked it up. Golden State is they got the 17th best offense in points per game. They got the 21st best offense in efficiency. So, yeah.
And as you would expect, when Curry is off the floor, they are just horrible. So,
yeah. And we saw some of that tonight.
Yeah. He's kept them afloat. Draymond's had a down year, but he was pretty good tonight. He had his 27th career triple-double, 16 assists, 12 points, 10 rebounds. Like you said, that pick and roll was dynamic. For the Warriors, the Thunder just had no chances of stopping it. Tale Maladone primarily got the Steph Curry assignment, but no Lou Dort, and you knew it was going to be a huge game for Curry. Probably would have been a huge game for Curry no matter who's on him with the way he's shooting the ball. You mentioned Moses Brown. He had a pretty big game tonight. He had a double-double with pulling it up here. Sorry about that. 18 points. 12 rebounds. I thought Mark Daigneault said something pretty interesting after the game. It was like, you know, when Moses Brown was putting up that 20-20 line and, you know, 18 and 14 and 17 and 12, that was when he just started out. Teams didn't know much about him. Now, he's not been the target of opposing scouting reports, but he's certainly a line on the scouting report, and that's how Daigneault described it. And Moses Brown, we haven't really talked about him much in these last few games, but he had another big game tonight. So that's kind of interesting to me, is like, you know, teams are game planning against him. I don't know what exactly each of them are doing, but Moses Brown hasn't had those like crazy stat lines recently, but he had a big one tonight, which I guess is promising for his development.
Yeah. And you know, Golden State is not much inside.
Yes.
Even when James Wiseman's, you know, there, he's a rookie that's just sort of learning the ropes, but Kevon Looney is sort of a veteran now for Golden State, but he's nothing special. And so they have issues inside. This is a game where you would think Moses Brown might put up some numbers, and he did. And, you know, it's just a case of Maladone didn't play very well, I didn't think. Kenrich Williams didn't do much. It was to be expected. That's a game. That's the kind of team that beat the Thunder when they were good at times, coming off a back-to-back like that.
Call it a scheduling loss.
That's right. You could tell that was going to be a difficult game, you know, in September when the schedule came out. So I didn't know they'd score 147 points.
It's also a weird one because, like, the team is back so short. I mean, they're coming back for one home game and then departing on a four-game road trip. So it's just a weird game in the schedule. I don't want to talk too much more about this one, but the other notable thing I thought was Darius Bazley tied a season high with 22 points in just the third game back after missing a month with a shoulder injury. He had 8 rebounds. So we talked about him the other night. He had all those turnovers. That wasn't as big of a problem tonight, but sort of still in the, stage where we're still learning about Bazley and, you know, trying to glean what we can when he's out there. Kind of a more focal point of the offense right now. But anything stand out about Bazley tonight?
Yeah, you know what? I thought he was pretty good in transition, and that's often the case. He gets out on the break pretty good, and he can get to the rim pretty good in transition. So
he likes that spin move near the basket.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes in setup offense, he can struggle. He can go into just
one-on-one mode.
Yeah, and goes in to get bigger players and gets pushed back and, you know, doesn't really produce. But in the open court, you know, he's a little bit different. I thought Tony Bradley played one of his better games. I thought he was pretty good tonight. That's the best I've seen him play. Ty Jerome, no, he didn't play very well. Got a lot of run. Didn't do much at all. I'm thinking less and less of his future.
Who'd you say, Josh Hall?
Josh Hall.
Yeah, I don't know about Josh Hall. Speaking of other guys deeper down on the roster, I think the 10 days for Justin Robinson are up either tomorrow or Friday. So I don't know if he's going to get another 10-day contract. You can have a maximum of 2. I would expect. Given his playing time and how he, you know, played earlier in the games and now is, you know, I don't think he came in until the third quarter tonight. Wouldn't it be a surprise if the Thunder brought in someone else on a 10-day contract just to give somebody else a look. But you got any guesses on Justin Robinson's Thunder future?
No, I don't know enough about that 10-day culture. I don't know. I don't know what the point would be to let him go, and I don't know what the point would be to keep him. So, you know, they have a plan, I'm sure. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Gabriel Deck, still not with the team, asked Daigneault about him the other day. They said it's just a visa issue, and they have no idea when. I mean, I'm guessing they have some sort of idea, but they're not at least saying what it is. So who knows when he's going to join them. They said that the SGA injury update would be in mid-April. Here it is, mid-April. Not quite an update yet, but I think they'll share one with us soon as far as if he's going to be back this season or not. Not going to guess as to what that is. Barry, just looking forward. This is a fairly large 4-game trip for the Thunder at Detroit, at Toronto, at Washington, at Indiana. I've got tankathon.com pulled up. With all the lottery odds, the Thunder has now lost 8 straight. Right now they have a 42% chance at a top 4 pick. They have a 10.5% chance at the number 1 overall pick. And those numbers keep rising by the loss because their 8-game losing streak is the longest in the NBA. And like I said, with, you know, the likes of Detroit and Washington and Toronto coming up, those are pretty important games for those wanting to rack up the losses.
Yeah, this was a good night for the Thunder. Cleveland won, Washington won, Toronto won. Somebody else, maybe Orlando won. It looks to me like the Thunder's in pretty good shape to get in at 4 or 5 on the lottery odds. And you couldn't ask for much more, even if you'd have lost a bunch of games earlier you know, the three below you there at the end are so bad that, you know, I don't know if you can get under Houston, Detroit, Minnesota. So Thunder's in about as good a shape as it could be. So,
also, you know, I think I'm certainly guilty of this. I think we've been talking too much about the picks separately, how, you know, they have mid 40% chance somewhere in the 40s to get that, for that Houston pick to fall outside of the top four and to get that. And then they have, you know, whatever I just said, a 42% chance on their own to get a top four pick. But collectively, the odds are much greater than that to get one top five pick. And that's really the goal. I mean, certainly the Thunder would love, in an ideal world, they're picking number one and number five. But when you combine those two chances together, their own pick with Houston's pick, you know, you take those odds together and it's looking pretty good that they are going to get one of those five coveted players.
Yeah. I'm feeling better here than I did a month ago. So it's still be a stressful night when we have that, the lottery picks. So the Thunder has put themselves in good position.
We'll end on a fun note. Any guess as to who will be the Thunder's, I don't know who it's been in the past, you probably do, but who will be the Thunder's lottery representative on the TV showcase?
I bet they go with some sort of civic-minded thing. It's been so long since they've been in there. I bet they go with some civic-minded thing. I'd have to think about it. But I've often thought, you know, as a protest against the entire corrupt system. Send Rumble. I just send Rumble.
Send Rumble.
I'd have Rumble do it.
What about send Shea Gilgeous Alexander, or like Sam Presti in the Rumble outfit?
Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe you could send, I don't know, send Moses Brown. That would be fun. Send Moses Brown. Yeah.
So they'd have the tallest lottery representative, maybe.
Yes, they would. If the Thunder won the lottery, maybe we'd see him smile. I've actually never seen the guy smile yet. So, of course, I'm not sure I've ever seen him. He's always got his mask on during the interviews. So, heck, don't tell him what he's got going on under the mask. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's looking better. It's looking better.
Yeah.
It was a good night, and they're headed for some more losses too.
Yeah. So next up for the Thunder is a Friday night game in Detroit. But thank you guys for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we will be back with you then.